do worship like once a month. And I got to train them because they're training and singing and worship all the songs they know, but I got to do stuff like that so they'll learn how to operate in the spirit and not just music notes. Come on, somebody. They got to be ready inside and out. You got to be ready in season and outside of season. Amen. Praise the Lord. I've been known to mess up a few musicians, not just by being off key either, but by, you know, pulling out songs and like, really? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to the book of Malachi. Like some people say Malachi. I think my dad used to say Malachi. My dad thought he was an Italian. I think he thought he was the brother of James Cagney, but James Cagney's not even Italian. Turn with me to the book of Malachi. Malachi chapter 3, and we are going to start reading in verse number 8 while you remain standing. Malachi, I know I heard some pages out there still. It's on page 1271. Got it? I think I always get at least one person with that when they start flipping to the 1271. So if you're that one, don't say nothing. You got God. Will a man rob God? That's the big question. Can you rob God? My goodness, who can rob God? He's such a big God. Yet, he says, you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? And he says, in tithes and in offerings. He says, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. You know what that means to me? I've read this 1,000 times. I've preached it hundreds of times. I've spoken it lifting offerings up, and I don't know how many different places in our church. For the first time, I really look at this, and I thought to myself, imagine this, that when we don't tithe, we always look and say, when we don't tithe, we're not going to be blessed, and there's curses and all that stuff like that. We hear a lot of those messages, those not feel good ones, the ones that turns you off. But we don't realize that when we don't tithe, we affect the whole nation. Do I need to call the band up here again? When we don't tithe, we don't just affect ourselves. We affect a whole nation. And if this nation, the statistics say that only 4 to 6% of people in churches across the nation tithe. Many give tips to God, and many give some offerings to the Lord, but not only 5 to 6 people out of every 100 in all the mega churches. All these churches you see on TV that have 20, 40,000 people, some have 5,000 people, some have hundreds of people, wherever, churches across America, 5 to 6% is the statistic of people that only tithe. I'm talking about people that bring 10% of their income and bring it before the Lord. So when the prophet says, you don't just rob yourself, but even the whole nation. I can't imagine what would happen if this nation would get back to it where it once was, and all of the church, every denomination, every single type of church would bring the whole tithe into the house of God. There wouldn't be one homeless person. There would be nobody that would go hungry. And there would not be poverty because there would always be some place where they could get a break. Instead, churches have to, like us, have to turn people away when they come and say, listen, I've got a gas bill or electric bill. We've been known to take money from another account and just pay it for them at times, but we can't, we don't have that resource. But can you imagine what would happen if every church, you know, the church in Jerusalem was the very first church to start a welfare program. The welfare program was never supposed to be in the hands of state or federal government. It is supposed to be in the hands of the church. But people would rather pay their taxes and government than they would bring resources into the house of God. See, Pastor, are you mad at us? No, I'm not mad at you. I'm in the part 3.5 of stewardship. I couldn't just end there on Sunday. And whoever didn't get here is going to miss the blessing tonight. I'm glad you're here, but they're going to miss with the meat of what I tried to get on Sunday. It was just too much. It was too much time. As you remain standing for just another second, let me finish this. I started preaching ahead of myself. Verse 10 says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough. My God is more than enough. There will not be room enough to receive it. Sunday I said something that could have sparked a glitter in your eye if you were looking for a way out of financial distress. Start tithing. Start saving and start spending right. Those are the couple of words I said. Imagine the fact that when you partner with God and you place your tithe in faith, like Sean was saying, imagine the partnership, you and God. That word room enough in the Hebrew is the word day. Not like daylight, but it's spelled die, like die. And it means sufficient, large enough, quantity, plenty, measurelessness. It means more than enough. And that verse 11 says, and I'll let you be seated. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. In other words, this is talking about farming and trees and planting and grapevines and all kinds of things that some of you don't even understand the concept of that stuff. So let me break it down in a different way. In other words, I don't care what everybody else is going through. Famine may come. There may be crazy finances, the recessions and repressions. But in the middle of that, because you are connected to God through your tithe, that it doesn't affect you. Because when the enemy comes to chomp on all your stuff, you've already got an insurance policy that says, stop, get off, that's mine. That belongs, that's my son, that's my daughter. He's connected to me, and you cannot touch his. That's what that means. Then when it comes to, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you. Listen, you may not depend on the fruit trees in your house or your yard to be able to provide for yourself. But what that really means is that all of your labor and everything that you do will never be in vain, because whatever you sow, you're going to reap lots. It's going to be so much that you won't be able to contain it. The Bible says, I don't know about you, but I would rather partner with that than the world. I would rather partner with that than say, you know what, I want to trust in my money. You heard some powerful testimonies there. I've seen that with multimillionaires where they've called me to their home and said, I want to commit suicide. My life is over. I've lost my wife, my kids. I've lost the most important things to me, and I don't know what to do. I've got all this money, but I don't have no peace. Man, talk to me. And I've had to look them in the eyes and say, you need to take that God out, that God that you have in your wallet, in your bank account, that God that you have set up higher than God, and move it aside for a minute and get it out of the way and just start serving the God of Israel, the God that sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to die on the Calvary for you, and give your heart, surrender to him instead of surrendering to money. Surrender to the one who can keep you from the very fires of hell, the one who will snatch you from that place. And instead of trusting in money that you already with your own mouth has said you has not made you happy. That's what Malachi chapter 3 says. Now, before I let you sit down, why in the world, or how in the world, could you deny this or reject it? Knowing that where you want to be wealthy and blessed and have everything. People have already been there and said, that doesn't make me happy. I know some of you say, yeah, but I still want to see what it feels not to be happy like that then. You can be seated. I want to speak to you about what happens when you give like that. When you give, the series I started a month ago, Sunday I tried to finish it. I just got a little bit left. Thank you, guys. Thank you, musicians. I tried to get it all out Sunday. I couldn't do it. So I said, I'm going to bring the last part of it on Wednesday night. Wednesday night is those people that make every effort to get a church, man. They work all day. They're trying to get some kids ready and get ready for school the next day, but they're still here. So give it to them because they give all. So what happens when you give? I gave a lot of points on Sunday. But when you tithe, when you make a decision to be a tither, in the beginning of the year, I believe it was Philip LeCroux Jr., right? He gave a 90-day challenge to our church, and our tithes went up. And I want you to know, Victory Outreach Albuquerque, we're so proud of you. Sister Barbara and I are so proud of you. I'm so proud of our church because we have finally broke some things. We've broke some records of people that finally tithe. There's times, I'm not kidding, there'd be times where I'd say like, you know, I don't understand this. I'd get up here mad sometimes. I'm talking about way back, like 10, 12 years ago. I'd get up and say, what's wrong with you people? Church would be packed out. Then we'd lose like 40 people that Sunday. My wife goes, man, those people are not coming back. I go, well, they don't give, Barb. She's like, maybe they're just new. I go, I don't care. They should give to the Lord, man. They've been saved. God's touched their hearts. Some of their families in the men's home or the women's home, don't think they should give. And not everybody's going to think like I think. So I guess you get frustrated. A young pastor, I get frustrated. But I get up there and say, what's wrong with you people, man? People just look at me like, golly, he's on one right now. Upset, man. What do we do to you? You know, I came to church. Like, yeah, but you won't tithe, man. And we were going through so much financial difficulty, man. And the church there was no resources. And I was just, you guys are the church. This is your church. You ought to bring the resources for the church. And I tried preaching every message, every kind of angle. I pulled out $50 bills and made this story go on. And I had this thing over here with this guy over here, and we did this, and this guy does this, that guy does. I did everything. I don't even remember how many messages I preached on that. And I tried everything, and still, just people just wouldn't get it. But there's always been a group. There's always been this group of people in the church that do get it. But what I'm trying to say is that now more of you are getting it. And let me tell you what happens when you get it. When you get it, you position yourself for the Malachi promise. See, some people think tithing is just, well, you know, I'll give, you know, a little bit and I'll do a little bit and that's my tithe. But your tithe is the first part of your income. If you're not tithing 10%, and if you're not saving at least 10%, then you're already in trouble financially. You might think you're doing all right, but there'll come a day where you'll realize that, you know what, you're not insured. You know, when you drive around with no insurance, what happens when a car hits you, you hit a car, what happens? No fixie the car. Pay out of your own pocket to the other people, right? And possibly get fines because you're supposed to have insurance. Well, nobody can make you buy insurance. I guess the state says you have to have insurance to get registered. Then you can drop it, and then they send you letters, and you can go months and months without it for a little bit, and then, bam, you get caught, and it's done. Fines, man, you pay all these fines, and you realize it's better, it's cheaper to keep that insurance. Amen? And what happens a lot of times, people don't realize that when you connect with God, you're partnering with the Lord, you're connecting to all the promises that God has given. I said this on Sunday. Jesus talked more about money than he did about heaven and hell. Why? Because he knew exactly what was going to be the heavy topic on your heart. How are we going to pay this bill? How am I going to go on vacation? How am I going to buy fishing equipment? How am I going to buy this car? How am I going to get a tire? All these, because our lives revolve around having to buy something or spend for something. And then, of course, then there's the leisure stuff and the vacationing and all. But I'm talking about the have-tos, the rent, the lease, the mortgage, the insurance, the car, the gas, the everything. And our minds are continuously bombarded on a daily basis. And if your job is on the brink, you know, you're worried, man, if I lose my job, what will I do? I'll lose my house. I'll lose these things. And so we're always, forever, continually thinking about these things. And you know what that is? That's worry. And worry is the opposite of faith. Worrying about everything like that, about money, is like saying, I don't trust you, God. And God is saying, I want you to trust me. And it's like once you put your tithe in the hands of God, when your little girl goes, like Sean took his little girl to the hospital, and the moment that doctor come and said, well, it might be this, it might be that. I said, Lord, no, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray, man, I'm connected to you, man. And then that's when you have that nurse pass by and say, well, I don't think it's a thing like that. You just go, my God is more than enough. Out of key or in key or no key, it don't matter. You're going to sing it. Why? Because you have positioned yourself for the blessings of God. And it doesn't always happen monetarily. The Apostle Paul wrote a letter to a group of Christians living in the first century called the Church of Philippi, or the Philippian Church. You have that letter right there in your Bible. It's in every Bible. It's the letter written to the Philippians. Wrote it from a prison cell. In the first part of the letter, Paul thanks everybody. He thanks the Philippians for their generosity, for sending resources for the mission field, for sending in part, bringing their generosity in partnership with his mission to plant churches everywhere. They had contributed to his ministry as a missionary and as a preacher. They were always sending him offerings to make sure that he had enough for the ministry. The Christians who lived at Philippi were generous supporters. I believe this with all of my heart, and you need to get this in your spirit, that there is a clear connection between your generosity and God's provision. When you sow into people. Now some people ask me, well, I gave groceries to somebody. That's how I paid my tithes. No, the Bible says bring your tithes into the storehouse. What you did when you brought the groceries for that family is you gave an offering. You gave a special love offering that was not something that the Bible said you had to do, not something you should bring. It says, bring the tithe, it says. This is something that came overflowing out of generosity after your faith tithe, after what you have believed God has had you to do. And out of something else, you've taken from something you could have bought for yourself, and you bought groceries for that family. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You can't say, well, I pay my tithes, but I pay it different ways, and that's nobody's business. That's God's business. It's not my business, not your business. That's God's business. Your offering, la ofrenda, is above and beyond the tithe. So I want to speak to you for just a little bit more about how when you tithe, when you generously support the ministry, what you do is you connect with God in such a way that there is nothing between you. You have said, I'm connected to you and nothing can get between me and you. Because there's only a few things that can get between you and your God. And one of them happens to be money. You say, well, I don't got much money. You know, that's the oldest excuse I've had. I've done that same thing. I've done it. I did it with Barbie before. I don't got no money, babe. And she's like, I know you have money. I seen that little stash roll you had in your pocket. Don't tell me you ain't no money. Well, yeah, but I had that for something else. And God says like that. You say, well, I ain't got no money. Pastor, you can preach to your blue in the face, but I ain't got no money. I barely make it and all that stuff. Well, Let's go ask Sonic. Like twice, three times a day. Yeah, but I do, but I go during the happy hour, Pastor. Everybody's got something. Everybody's got something. And when you don't tithe, you're not connected.
You say, well, I thought God loved.
God loves you anyway. He's still going to love you even though you're not tithing. But he's saying, when are you going to get it, son, daughter? When are you going to get it through your skull? That I want to bless you. You're trying to bless yourself. You've seen these NBA and these baseball, MLB and these football players. They're committing suicide. They're not happy. They got everything. They got houses, yachts. They travel the world and they're not happy. When are you going to get it through your thick head? Get it through your thick head that money's not going to make you happy. It can buy you some happy things, but it's not going to make you happy. You need to understand here tonight that God is trying to speak to your heart, that God wants you to connect to Him. Philippians 4:19, one of the most famous scriptures in all the Bible. And my God will meet all your needs according to His riches and glory. I said it 3 or 4 times tonight already. So you might not understand it completely. I may not be able to completely explain it the way you could completely understand it. But there is something supernatural that happens when you bring that tithe from that little prison in your wallet or your purse or in your bank account and you break it out. See, sometimes you got to do a breakout. Sometimes you got to help your money get an escape out of that prison it's in. It's locked up, locked down, man, in the hole. It's way down in the hole someplace and you got to get a breakout. You got to break it out and get that money and say, I'm giving this to God. And then we put it in the hands of God and it's no longer in prison anymore. It's no longer has you in bondage anymore. Money can get you in bondage, man. And I might not be able to explain it right, like I said. But that supernatural thing that happens when our finances, when our treasure, when we're good stewards of our treasure, and when we come into alignment with God's heart, and we say, He says, there, now you got it. Sometimes you say, well, I tried tithing for those 90 days and nothing happened, so I stopped. In fact, I had more trials when I tithe than when I don't. So I just don't tithe and I give an offering every once in a while anonymously. You're not getting, are you? You're not understanding something right here. That God is just looking for one step of obedience. If all you make is $90 a week, then $9 will do. But if you make $900 and you can't pay $90, how are you going to pay $900 on $9,000? Because some of you might want to give you a job with $9,000 a week, but you can't be trusted with $900. This is a rough message. I know for some of you it's tough for you. But some of you are loving it and saying, come on, Pastor. God is a generous God, giving us so much blessings in our lives. These blessings are not limited, man, to just the financial realm. When I get a report, when they told me my daughter had been shot a number of years ago, how long is it, 12, 13 years ago, Barb? I don't know, something like that. They called me at 11 o'clock. It was about 11:05. I'll never forget. We were sitting there at the Hampton Inn, Santa Fe, New Mexico, getting ready to do a leadership teaching to the churches there in that area. And they called us. We were relaxed. We were so tired from the day. And they called and they said, I got some bad news. One of my daughter's friends, he said, I got some bad news. I go, your daughter's been shot. My whole life I just cringed on the bed. I said, what? Wow. And began to break it down. I don't got time to get into it, but she'd been shot. She pulled up, brought her home, her best friend home from Bank of America. That's where she worked at. She picked her up because her car was in the shop. Pulled her and her boyfriend up, dropped her off. Was supposed to stay to eat, but she said, I'm so tired, I'm leaving. She pulled out. She was right there in Pasadena, what they call the Avenues. It was a new gang in town trying to make their mark right there with the Avenue gangs. And they opened fire. They said there was over 700 rounds on the floor everywhere. She was shot. The car had 4 or 5 big bullet holes in them. And then all the windows got broken out. She was hit with a shotgun on the whole side of her head, her neck and arm. I didn't know this, though. I thought when they said, your daughter has been shot in a big gun battle. First
First of all, I'm like, what is she doing in a gun battle? Why? She's not in East LA. She's in Pasadena, but I didn't realize how crazy the avenues are. If some of you from California, you know what I'm talking about. Different areas are crazy. And I'm thinking to myself, so we didn't know what to do, so we started crying. We just broke. God, please don't let our little girl die. Please, God, please. We're reminding you of every promise. We've been faithful. And I believe that because I'm going to say real tithers, that things like that, just cut that off when the enemy tries to do that. Because all she had was some shotgun BBs. But they were close to her carotid artery. They could have penetrated one and she could have bled out right there. And that, let's go, she was shot. I didn't know this, though. So we had a fly out in the morning. We tried to drive out, but we would have got there too late. So we waited. We stayed up all night and prayed and fasted that night and wept that night and got there, ran into the hospital, bandaged like that. Thank God Pastor Ed Morales had just been there before that night. He found out my daughter was shot. Him and Pastor Augie went to there and laid hands on her and prayed. What was ironic about that whole thing is there was a whole room full of pastor's kids in that room that know my daughter from the Los Angeles area, and every one of those people were backslidden. They were all had run from God. They were out doing their thing in the clubs and doing all kinds of stuff, and but they loved my daughter, Jen. They came to her, just to the hospital room, to come and minister to her, to love her. When Pastor Ed and Augie saw them and said, listen, God didn't just do this. The devil did this, but God's setting all you guys up. And I want you to know, every one of those kids in that room gave their life to the Lord are now back in church. Every one of them. I don't know why my daughter got shot. I don't know how it happened that God brought those PKs, about seven PKs. But all I know is I followed some of them on Instagram right now. And I know some of those that were at backslidden and probably would have died in their sin maybe or be all messed up are saved. Because even in a gunshot like that of my daughter, I know that somehow supernatural, because we give and we sow and we sow on behalf of our children. And even when they're not serving the Lord, we sow on their behalf, and there's something that happens supernaturally. Those of you that got little kids, you start sowing now because they may want to divert later on. And when they do and you're frustrated, you keep on sowing and tithing, and you watch the supernatural hand of God come upon them. Come to the keyboards if you would. One last point I'll make and I'll let you go. I couldn't not preach this part. Oh, I have so much I can share with you about the promises of God. You need a financial plan. You need to quit going around the mountain. And you need to start saving money. You need to start tithing, saving, and spending properly and wisely and not so foolishly, and quit having your pockets empty constantly. Start by putting away that first part of your income. Put that second part of your income into a savings account. Yes, even before you pay your bills. Put your tithe, put your savings in the bank, and then pay your bills. Try it for 6 months. Watch it. Not just 90 days. Try it for 6 months. Get into a year and watch all the testimonies God gives you. When you give, you're making an intentional statement that you trust God. And you're also doing another thing. You are saying, I believe in the mission of the church. I believe in what the church does. The church reaches hurting people. And I want to be connected to something powerful. Haven't some of you been moved to give to the hurricane, like $10 or tax? Why? Because people are hurting. We all got to give something like $10. That's why Run for Hope, it's like we shouldn't be up there trying to pull a tooth out, like a wisdom tooth to get you to give $10 to Run for Hope. My goodness, we've done pretty much everything here to try to get finances for Run for Hope from you guys. We've done some crazy things up here. People are like, just give something. You know what's amazing to me? What is amazing to me is that you'll give to so many things. I can't even imagine how much. No, this is no offense. I have a pet.
I love my pet. Chevy is just the bomb. She's so smart, but she's so unruly too. But I walked up to Pastor Charles' house yesterday and heard him telling his dog, get in there and quit barking at the pastor. And I do the same thing. Chevy, get inside. That's Pastor Charles. We do the same, but we love them. But it trips me out when you see a commercial and you see that lady on there and they're singing that song and they show a cat. One little ear's down. And they show a puppy. Spots on it. Gloves, you know, white gloves on it. The little gloves are there. They show it. And they know how to put the pictures. And they play that music. Can't just give a little to save a cat. And then you're like, oh, honey, do we have any money in our accounts? And we're not really. We have enough for, you know, this and that. But, well, I want to give some to that. I want to give $25 a month to that. I love cats. Well, you don't even own a cat. I know, but I love cats. That'll be sufficient for me. But somebody can have a cat. I'm not downing that. I'm saying there's some great things out there, and if that's to each his own, if that's what you feel like you want to do, it's your money. Ooh, wait a minute. It's not your money. It's God's money. He just lets you manage that money. Hold on a second. He lets you work with 90%. He says, I need the 10 off the top, but I let you work with 90. Whatever you do with that 90 is on you and your stewardship. So if you say, I'm paying $25 a month because I like those little frisky little cats. Little, you know, that's what I love. Okay, you love that then. You do that. You want to save the trees or you want to save the volcanoes. Whatever you want to do, that's on you, man. But when you do that stuff and you walk in and you know, if you can afford to buy like 17 Red Bulls a week, don't tell me you can't register $20 for Run for Hope. How about partnering with God? God don't need your money. Seriously, he does not need your money. And I don't mean to sound rude, but if God wanted your money, he would just take it from you. He would say, okay, you're not a good steward. Give me that. Let me give it to somebody else. Not only does he not need your money in particular, he doesn't depend on us whether we do. If we don't do something, he don't wait around and say, oh, I'm going to have to wait another 30 years until Danny gets it right. Then maybe he'll win a soul. No, he'll raise up somebody else. He'll get somebody else to do it. See, we don't really invite God into our lives. He invites us into him. I say, oh, I called upon the Lord and I asked him to come in. No, he died on the cross for you and he called you out. Hey, I love you. Come to me. Even though he doesn't really need like that, he calls us to participate with him, with his church. And that's faith and that's giving. I don't know where you're at, but the Lord said, I had another message I was preparing for tonight, kind of between here and Sunday. And I said, you know, I gotta preach part 3.5 or 4 or whatever it is of stewardship. This is the group. This is the part of the clan of Victory Outreach Albuquerque. It shows up even when they're tired. And so I thank you for hearing me tonight. I want you to bow your heads. Father, I pray. I know, God, that we have a phenomenal and amazing tithers in our church. Every week it blows my mind how you provide through your people. I'm reminded of all the scriptures that come to mind about what happens when we tithe. And yes, Lord, even it might sound discouraging and even like a downer when we talk about what happens when we don't tithe. But Lord, I pray tonight that your people in this church, this is your church. You've called us to be stewards of this church. You gave us this building with such a miraculous story that when we fully share this story of how we got this building, people are going to be so blown away. Lord, you actually made a way when there was no way. We were all at the end of our faith, I think. We were at the end of the mountain. And you showed up like you always do, especially when we feel like we're so weary we can't go on. I pray tonight that everyone in the sound of my voice tonight would make a clear-cut decision to not only become a tither. I'm talking to men in the home and women in the home that say they only get $5 a week from their family, that they would tithe off the $5. They would never hold back, that from the rest of their walk with Christ, that they would always tithe. I pray, God, for every man and woman in our church. I pray for those that are new. I pray they would connect to the promise of Malachi. And that, Lord, that you want to position us. You want to open up the windows of heaven. But there's something we must do. We must take one step of faith with what we have in our hands and bring the tithe to the storehouse. I only pray tonight that every man and woman in here tonight would understand by your spirit, because maybe I didn't explain it right. Maybe it's not clearly understood. But it's not by might nor by power, but by your spirit, saith the Lord. I pray now, God, that you would speak to our hearts. In the name of Jesus, in the mighty, powerful name of Jesus. If you're here tonight and you're not a tither, and you say, I want to become a tither, then I want you to stand up right now, boldly. If you say, Pastor, I tithe, but I struggle. My faith struggles. I want a breakthrough. Stand up right now. If you're here tonight and say, Pastor, I am tithing, but man, I am getting weary because I've been really tithing proper and the enemy's been hitting me, trying to lie to me, then you know what? I want to pray a special anointing on you right now because I've been there before. I want you to stand up to your feet right there. And then lastly, I want you tonight, for those of you that have this down completely, I want you to help me pray for all of those who struggle. By coming to the altar and standing in the gap for those that cannot get it. And you know what it is because you used to be there, but now you are a good, faithful tither. I need you to partner with me in prayer so that our church would be blessed. That more people in our church would be blessed than broken. Enough is enough. We're going to break that curse together as a church together. So if that's you here tonight, I've mentioned 5 or 6 things. From all over this place, I'm going to ask you to come. And I'm going to stand at this altar. For those of you that are not tithers now and you want to become a tither, for those of you that are tithing but you've been breaking, you have been kind of been really inconsistent, for those of you that are but you're so weary, and for those of you that really are good tithers, man, but you know what? You want to come and stand with us tonight to stand in the gap for your family, for stand in the gap for people in the church that maybe can't believe like you believe. Let's just begin to do it right now from all over this place. Come on. Come close to the front of the altar. Let's get close together. Let's pray to this. Believe together that God's going to do something supernatural. I believe with all my heart when this spirit is defeated, the spirit of worry, the spirit that says, what if it doesn't work? That's doubt, my friend. We've got to say, our hallelujah belongs to you.
Hallelujah
belongs to you. You deserve it.
You deserve it.
Yes, you do.
You deserve it.